Hello, this is Genoa.
And this is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. And we in March. And what's happening? What we celebrating in March, Genoa?
It is Women's History Month. So we just wrapped up February Black History Month. And so, of course, we have to follow that with Women's History. And we're starting out strong with a female-led and female-directed movie.
Mm-hmm.
Promising Young Woman. And it's directed and written by Emerald Fennell. Wait, is that a woman?
Yes.
I assumed it is a woman.
Yes.
And then starring Carey Mulligan.
Yes. Yeah, so actually, Emerald Fennell? She's British. She directed some Killing Eve episodes. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that show, but she dipped her toe in the visual waters of Killing Eve. And and this is her, movie outside of the Killing Eve series, produced by none other than Margot Robbie, Miss Harley Quinn herself, under her production company, which is pretty cool. And again, it stars Carey Mulligan as Cassie.
Yeah, so for people that watch The Crown, they actually may recognize the director. She plays Camilla Parker Bowles in that movie.
Oh, okay.
Or in that TV show. I don't watch it, so whatever.
I guess people watch The Crown seasons. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So Carey Mulligan, Alison Brie, America's Sweetheart right there. And also stars Clancy Brown. People don't know, definitely watch the first Highlander. My man Clancy Brown's up in there.
Yes, and then it also has Laverne Cox playing the, I kind of feel like she's the token Black person. Token Black girlfriend in the movie, but she does a great job.
Yeah. Does she own the coffee house?
She owns that coffee shop. So Promising Young Woman is about a young woman traumatized by a tragic event in her past who seeks out vengeance against those who cross her path. And the idea is, in this day and age of finally recognizing that when a woman has passed out, having sex with her is rape. And so she goes to bars or puts herself in situations where she looks like the passed out drunk girl and lets guys take her home so she can then hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
And but what's nice about the movie is they actually, besides, I think, the last scene, they don't really show anyone dying. It's not very bloody or anything.
Right. Yeah. It leaves a lot of mystery throughout Cassie's journey, especially within this movie, because, she turns 30, right? Because her parents it's your day. It was like, she's like, what was this? She's like, oh, it's your birthday. They're like, it is my birthday, huh? So she's 30 years old. So we find that out. And she's living with her parents. She works at a coffee shop. And then further on the movie, we peel back layers with her character that she went to medical school. With a dear friend of hers named Nina, which is very ominous. Like throughout the movie, we just kind of hear Nina here and there. We don't really know what happened to Nina. We don't know the relation. It's just like this mysterious name that pops up throughout the movie. And we know that Nina is important to Cassie in some kind of way, but throughout the movie is still shrouded in mystery. You're like, what's up with Nina? Like, we hear her a lot until the end, and things unravel and we figure out the revelations of Nina and the reason why Cassie, you know, go on this journey, so to speak.
Yeah, so the first time that we see Cassie targeting men is in the opening scene. And the first person she targets is Adam Brody. And he's playing like your typical Wall Street bro that's in the bar with all of his friends. And they're kind of all dressed the same. I know when I lived in New York, you could always tell a Wall Street bro because they all had the exact same shirt on, basically. And his character definitely reminded me of that. And he sees her drunk in the bar and he's like, oh, you don't, you know, you're not safe. I'll take you home, and takes her back to his place. And she's acting drunk the entire time. So he starts to take advantage of her. We never see him die, but she has a little book that is, there's red marks in it and black marks in it. Mm-hmm. And I assume the red marks are the people that she's killed, and the black marks are just the ones that she scared the fuck out of.
Right.
But personally, when I was watching this movie and Adam Brody being the first person that's trying to rape the girl, made me think of the movie Teeth, which, for people that don't remember, he played the lead singer of like an indie band who gets a girl drunk and takes her back and rapes her in order to make a deal with the devil.
Sorry. All right. Correction, retraction. That was Jennifer's Body. Megan Fox.
Jennifer's Body.
Yes.
Jennifer's Body.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Teeth was, it was still the teeth thing, but Jennifer's Body was. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Jennifer's body. Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Sorry. Megan Fox got sacrificed by Adam Brody and the bandmates. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was like, Adam Brody, he's going for that creepy bro, that is out there to rape women. It was brilliant casting, and that anyone that had seen Jennifer's Body and put that all together, I was like, yes, I'm loving this.
Yes. He, like I said, he's starting to be that go-to white actor that's like, hey, you need like the bro-ish, like rapey dude? Hey, I'm your man, you know. And he plays it well. You know, he comes off charming, disarming, you know, lovable. You know, it's like, oh, like, who wouldn't want to sleep with this dude? But then, you know, then his true colors start to show.
Yeah. So through that interaction with Adam Brody's character, we see sort of how she sets up men. But then we continue to follow her story, and we find out that Nina was her best friend from childhood, and they both went off to medical school together, and Nina ended up being date raped. She was at a party, got drunk, and someone raped her, and everyone filmed it and passed around the film. And so now... what's her name? Cassie, Cassandra, is about to get revenge for all of the people that destroyed Nina and really broke Cassie in the process, because Cassie dropped out of medical school as well in order to take care of her friend that really couldn't deal with life after being raped.
Was it said that Nina killed herself? She committed suicide, right? Or did she just die?
Yeah, she committed suicide. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Yes. So that definitely...
Yeah, so from after we find sort of that story out, the movie then breaks it into four chapters. And the four chapters are first going after their other female friend that said that Nina was a slut, she deserved it. Going after the dean of the school who said, we can't destroy a young man's life. Going after the lawyer that tried to pay her off, and then ultimately going after the boy that raped her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, she definitely had a like a really time sensitive and elaborate plan to where if anything veered slightly right or slightly left, her plan would have like fell apart because of like the end result, I mean, of said plan and how it ended. It was definitely dependent on everything falling into place the way she wanted it to fall. But the thing about the story is like she know that like the eerie or the predictability of these men's actions. Like she almost, you know, she's almost like an oracle, knowing like who these men are, how they react, like the nature of them. She just automatically knew like, okay, they're going to react like this because they are these kind of men. So it's not going to distract my plan because I know what kind of men they are kind of thing. So, I mean, it was clever, you know, how, you know, the plan was unfolded.
Yeah. I don't think we should give away the end of the movie. Everyone needs to go watch this movie. But the title is actually, the title Promising Young Woman is actually a reference to the Brock Turner, the rapist from Stanford University, that he was sort of given a light sentence because he was considered a promising young man. And so the title is a reference to that, and that when women are raped, their lives are destroyed. And by not going after the men that rape it because they have a promising career is lessening the careers, the future of those young women. So that was a sort of a reference to that here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right on. Yeah, I mean, because when I see the title and how the movie played out, I was kind of scratched my head on the title. Like, oh, it's an interesting title for for this movie after seeing it from like beginning to end.
I don't know if you noticed, but the music was just on point. It was brilliant.
Did you catch, like, was it the violin version of Britney Spears' Toxic?
Yes, so good.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. I'm picking up what y'all putting down as far as this music cues. Yeah.
And then there was like one scene, I can't remember if it was in a bar, like the It's Raining Men was in one scene.
Yeah, it was like a different, it was a new version, like a slower kind of. It was a decent version, even though like I still love my old school disco Is Rated Man version. This is a good, you know, this is a good modernized, like updated.
And the words rape and sexual assault are actually never said in the movie. Which I think is powerful, but it is obvious what they're talking about. But it's always spoken in the way that the perpetrators normally speak about it. It's that, you know, they would never use the word rape or sexual assault.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. In the way of, you know, highlighting these, you know, the atrocities that's going on, like, as we speak at this minute, at this second now against women. It was interesting how, like, the Cassie character was holding things, like, close to her chest, but then again, displaying a lot of other things. Like, she was almost like a Venus flytrap, so to speak. She always had that nature. You know, she kind of like, you know, just kind of like lure you in. She have a dark secret, but she won't let that, you know, show because it might compromise her ultimate goal. that's why it was interesting throughout the film watching the slow unraveling of the intentions. Like, we already knew what she was doing, but we just didn't really know why. Like, why is she doing this? But as we progress, you slowly start, you know, it start revealing, you know, her intentions, and you think it was, it's her, but it's like, but it's a flip. It's like, yeah, it is her, but it's also something else, you know, which is, yeah, pretty, like I said, how I like movies that, you know, don't give it all to you. You have to really, you know, you have to watch it. You have to kind of see how things unravel, you know, that, that keeps you engaged, in my opinion, especially with a main character like Cassie that have a lot to juggle. You know, she has some trauma, she has some sadness, she has some rage. She got a lot of stuff going on with her.
And also, like, we do see part of the movie where she's trying to put that behind her and be happy by starting a relationship. And we see how that sort of turns around in the movie on her. There is a scene where someone gets smothered, and the director, Emerald Fennell, reached out to her father-in-law, who's a retired police officer, and asked him how long it would take to smother someone. And he said about 2.5 minutes. And so that scene is exactly 2.5 minutes long, and it's sort of, it's creepy.
Wow. Yeah. It was very realistic. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, if you watch like Law and Order, like those old school, you know, yeah, they creep into the bedroom all silhouetted with the pillow clutched to their chest, and they just, ugh. And then you see like a struggle with arms for maybe like 10 seconds, and all of a sudden, like their hands just like go dead. Ugh. It's like, no, it should take longer than that, right? Like, but yeah, no, that's, yeah, that was definitely a realistic. It felt real.
Very real, yes.
Yeah, so it's definitely. Yeah, and like General said, Laverne Cox is the owner of the cafe slash coffee shop thingy mababo that Cassie works in. And yeah, and it's kind of like the central hub of her, of Cassie, you know, kind of unloading her societal frustrations out in the coffee shop to Laverne Cox character. And at the same time, reading like customers and kind of disengaging customers at the same time. Just like it was one woman that wanted a coffee, but that's just like, I don't care kind of situation. Didn't really want a server. And
yes.
Yeah. So it's like a facade, like her working in a coffee house or even having a job period, it felt like a facade. It's like she really don't want to do it. It seemed like she really didn't have to. I don't know. Okay, here's my confusion. All right. Okay.
Where is she getting the money to pay off people?
Yes. Yeah. It's pretty much because she lived with her parents. Clearly, she don't need to work at the cafe because she really don't care about, you know, that job and or customer service and or getting fired. But the Laverne Cox character, yeah, you like her so much. It's like, okay, I'll tolerate you. So, and then it was a scene. And then there was a scene when the Cassie character had dinner with the Allison Brie character, Madison, and she was footing the bill, right, with the dinners and the bottles of wine and champagne. So in the back of my mind, I'm like, is she a trust fund baby?
Maybe she took her like money that she got for a school loan because she didn't finish med school. Maybe there was some sort of settlement after the death and rape of Nina. Maybe Nina left her all the money after her death.
That was the only plot hole that I was kind of scratching my head on.
I mean, I could go dark in that the red marks in her book, I'm assuming she killed those people and she took the cash that they may have had in the house or in their wallets, and has used that to get revenge on people.
I would buy into that because that would make perfect sense, right? Because these, you know, these dudes, like you said, they're like the Wall Street bros, you know, they're probably in their little, you know, Lexuses or whatever, their BMWs, drive up and down, you know, New York, what have you, you know. So they have money. So,
right.
But I will go with that 100% because I would say, hey, maybe she's like, you know,
she's forward.
Yeah. It's like, you're going to have to up some money, dude. Like, you know, and you know, maybe that's just how she get her. It would have been cool to see, especially with the McLovin scene, like McLovin is in this movie. like it could. Yeah. It's like, it would have been cool. If she was like, okay, you know. For you being a complete dick, you know, you're going to have to wire X amount of dollars, you know, into my bank account or this account or like this offshore account, something, right. You know, at least I can see, okay, she's getting money through these assholes a certain way, right? So, I don't know. It would have been cool if they would have at least had one scene that she did that. That way, that would have killed the whole question of, how she's getting all this money? She's not getting it at the Starbucks.
Yeah, definitely for a split second. I was like, where is she getting the money for that? And I was like, wait, don't let me distract from the story. Just focus on the story. Doesn't matter about the tiny details. Just go with the story.
Oh, yeah, no, you have to go with the story because, yeah. If you bring the logistics police and the whole income of Cassie, then, yeah, it would. Like you would be distracted throughout the whole
movie. I mean, I would like to say, because when she goes to get revenge on the lawyer mentioned that he paid off Nina. So I would like to think that when Nina passed away, she left the money to Cassie, mm-hmm. and Cassie is using that money to get revenge.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I go with that too. You know, that sounds plausible. I go with that. So yeah, we'll just adapt that theory and, you know, just move on. Because the movie didn't really like clarify. Now I can see if, you know, it was maybe one parent there instead of two, maybe one passed away. You can kind of fill in the blanks. Like, okay, well, maybe the parent that dad left, you know, some money for them. Yeah. So then my questions on that would totally be out the window. Okay, well, there's one parent not there. I'm assuming that they left money for him and she can still kind of do her thing with the money.
Right.
Yeah. That was my only logic police moment with the movie. Like, how'd she get all this money?
Yeah, it came into my mind for a split second. So our reviews for March are basically the same, similar to what they were in February. Sit on the sofa, watch the movie, put on your shoes. You're not sure if you should watch the movie or go do something else, or go outside and fight the virus.
Yes.
So, I mean, for me, it's absolutely sit on the sofa. It's brilliant. Everyone needs to go watch this, not just to support female directed and led movies, but it's just a fantastic story. And if you like SVU Law and Order, then you'll love this movie.
Yes, definitely. I would definitely give it a sit down as a whole. Cause you know, I got to bring the whole like movie aesthetics into it. Yes, definitely sit down. But there are certain things that have me putting my shoes on about this movie. But it gets a sit down overall. Okay, the put shoes on about it is, it's a dark comedy, yes. And it definitely touch upon a lot of, you know, serious subjects. But I guess like the bigger picture of what the story was trying to say, I didn't really grasp. Well, okay, reason why I'm saying this, because when when she was talking to the missions lady, right? And she was like, okay, so like in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, don't we have to like attack, don't we have to like attack the system that like welcomes this kind of culture? Yes, you have to hit the individuals. You have to like have them accountable. But I don't know, I think like if she was really trying to take down like the medical school, I'd probably be like,
she wasn't about the system. She was about the people. You're looking at it too big. It's a revenge movie. It's not a breaking the system movie.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, but she was right there at the dean's office. Hey, she could have easily really like had a bigger plan to take that topple that whole thing, you know. But that was the only thing. I was like, okay, like, are we just trying to get the individual or are we trying to attack the system?
No, she was just breaking the people.
Okay. In that case, all right, I'm good. but it definitely gets to sit down. It gets to sit down. Like I said, there's a few things that elements that I had to like, but overall, definitely sit down and watch it. I mean, I would recommend this movie to, you know, it's an important film. It's a movie that everyone have to at least, you know, see, digest, have conversations, talk amongst each other after the movie goes off, because it definitely sparked a lot of, you know, things that we need to talk about.
Yeah, so you watched this with Chrissy, your wife, last night.
Yep.
Did you guys have it? Did it spark any conversations between the two of you?
I mean, pretty much the same conversation we talking about. it's an awesome movie. I mean, it's an awesome movie. Like I said, it's just there was just a couple of elements that, you know, that didn't really like click with me, but the overall effect of the character's journey and what happens, her closure. Yeah, it's a fully realized, fleshed out character, really played by Carey Mulligan. I mean, if anything, you know, it's a movie that people need to watch, not only for, you know, to keep the conversation of, you know, rape culture and, you know, accountability. Like, it's so important, you know, and I'm glad this movie like touched upon it in a dark comedic way, yes, but it's still something that we constantly need to talk about and try to rectify and get right. Definitely. It gets a thumbs up. I mean, it's a sit down for me.
So the movie is rated R. I'm not sure why. because I feel like everything you see in this movie is what you would see on SVU. So is there profanity in the movie that I missed?
Yeah, there's some F-bombs is dropped.
Oh, okay. But you can rent it on Amazon Prime right now or on Amazon. So definitely recommend finding out Amazon and renting it if you can.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And plus, I think Carey Mulligan is up for a Golden Globe. I think the Golden Globes tonight.
Yeah, we're recording this Sunday night, the night of the Golden Globes. So she is nominated, but we don't know the results of who won. So,
yeah.
Good luck, Carey. Yeah. I don't know who she's up against.
I think she's up against, what's her name? Rosemary Pike.
Yeah. From?
I Care a Lot. I don't know if you've seen that one yet, but I watched that one.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. But I mean, for people who don't know, she was nominated for an Oscar in Gone Girl for her performance. And she is.
She won. Rosamund Pike, I Care a Lot, won.
Yes. I was rooting for her, actually. She is so good. I mean, she was pretty much the same. She's almost the same character that she was in Gone Girl, but she was a lot more cunning and calculated and I Care a Lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Nah. Yes. I love her. She's so good. You remember we're talking about Adam Brody is like that good go-to, you know, bro-y, rapey guy. Rosemary Pike is a good go-to, just a calculated, like just treacherous, calm, you know, chess master of a villainous woman. Like, yeah, like she plays it so well. She's awesome. Congratulations to Romy Pike. Yay. So Promising Young Woman, y'all, check it out. We suggest it. You know, I think you guys will like it. You know, don't watch with the kids, but watch with your significant others, grown up friends, family, so we can keep the conversation going about this subject that we should not be talking about because this shit shouldn't be happening.
I would say watch it with your teenage children so that you can have those conversations, so you can teach your boys not to rape girls.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah. cool. Well, until Thursday, we're going to give you a little bit of a curveball, but we'll let you know Thursday what we're going to be doing. But until then, we wish y'all safe physical distancing and
still wear a fucking mask.
Yes. Peace.